The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Portions of the following program may contain pre-recorded material.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome, dear friends, to One on One here with me, Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump, and with a very special in-studio guest who's going to walk us through the insanity that is occurring in this administration when it comes to our armed forces. She's none other than Gunnery Sergeant, United States Marine Corps, Jessie Jane Duff. She worked on the Trump campaign, co-chair of Veterans for Trump, and also a contributor, fellow colleague of mine on Newsmax. Gunny, welcome to One on One.
Thank you so much. I love your introductions. I get real big-headed. Can't get me out of the studio after that.
we will always stick to the truth. You are a gunny, always a gunny. Mm-hmm. We've got to talk about what is happening in the last 10 months to our services. As you know, the Marine Corps is especially close to my heart. I've worked with all the armed services, but I spent 2.5 years in Quantico. The latest breaking news item is we finally, I'm sure the Chinese are most impressed. I'm sure Vladimir Putin is quaking in his boots. We have a transgender admiral. Now, thank the good Lord, it's not in a real armed service. It's not in the Coast Guard or the Navy. It's in the Health Corps. But put the footage up. This is, what's his name? Richard Levine, HHS, who has been made a quote-unquote admiral in the Health Corps by the man who sadly bears the title Commander-in-Chief and President Sleepy Creepy Joe Biden. Jessie Jane, this disturbing turn of events. They're not going to keep this just to the Health Corps, are they?
Oh, absolutely not. For example, the National Defense Authorization Act right now in Congress got passed. It has to go up to the Senate still. Got passed, though, that taxpayers would pay for transgender surgery.
For military members?
Military members. So you could join the military. Now, here's something that a lot of people are not aware. The Trump administration did a year study on this under General Mattis, who was very open-minded, maybe a little more so than many of us would have liked, for other issues such as women in ground combat. But getting back on this, General Mattis had this study conducted, and they came to find out that transgenders could join the military, but it would be after they've had the hormone treatment, the surgeries, and they were psychologically fit.
Right, so they were actually capable of doing the military job.
And there would be five years within the time of their surgery, so that you knew that they had fully adjusted. We know that there are record-breaking medical concerns among the transgender community for psychological issues, the what is it called? Gender dysphoria.
Yeah.
Things to that effect. And I'm no expert on the topic. And I have no issue with a transgender being in the military, but I have a huge issue with a transgender who is using the military to be non-deployed. And you are essentially allowing people now. So what they came out and said, we're going to allow them to join as if the Trump administration had not. That's not true. That's a falsehood, number one. Number two, what they're doing now is allowing somebody, a perfectly capable 18, 19, 20-year-old to join, 25-year-old to join, say they're transgender, get into the military, and now they go transition. This now allows I'm not even sure how they're going to address. Is the male who identifies as female going to go to the female boot camp with the testosterone and all the capabilities? How are they going to handle promotions now? How are they going to handle physical fitness tests? And when a male is transitioning, guess what? They get to wear the women's uniform, and they will birth and shower with women to see that they are actually capable of being a woman, because there's a process. You just don't go in and get surgery. There's a psychological profile that has to be done. You're given hormonal treatment. Guess what else now? They're non-deployable. The whole purpose of the military is not about a civil rights organization, not about an equal opportunity organization.
Well, it's not about free medical procedures either.
No, no. And there's thousands of other of issues that people can have resolved with a surgery that are not allowed to join. So now where does that line move to? Where does it shift to? Just like vaccine mandates, what is it going to be the next one? Do you have your card that you don't have HIV? Do you have a card that you don't have the flu? Where does it end? So those who have gastric bypass surgery, why can't they join? Why can't those with high blood pressure who can take medication?
Right, if you don't have to deploy, why can't a 400-pound guy with, you know, blood pressure off the scale join?
So how is this appropriate that I was listening to, say her last name for me, Lauren, Congresswoman Lauren
Boebert,
speak today. She said 33 Republicans voted for this NDAA, and in it was transgender allowed in the military, number one. Number two, to authorizing the funding, mind you. They don't make the rules, they're allowing the funding. And for the draft our daughters. So now they're trying to call it a civil rights issue. I'm sorry, an equal opportunity issue. These knuckleheads on the Republican side are doing this. Oh, it's about equality. You don't understand. The military has never been equal. It has always had weight regulations, height regulations, physical fitness standards. It's about overwhelming and killing the enemy.
Hang on, that is such a hater. What? And it's so, about killing the enemy? Just
so here you
what?
Are. So here you are.
You sound like a Marine.
I know. Sorry about that. Everybody beware. Now you know I don't have a date every Friday night. They think I'm going to break out a K-bar. But hey.
That's a big knife for you.
Yeah, that is a big knife. Yes, and it's bigger than theirs, I'm sure. Anyway, so with that said, you now are looking at it as an equality issue. What is the purpose of the draft? What was the last time we had the draft? Vietnam War.
We'll talk about the draft. We'll talk about the NDAA. We'll talk about women fighting.
This is a mockery.
I know, and I'm going to give my tuppence here. I don't want transgenders in the army, period. Why? Not because I hate them. You want to live that life? Go and live that life. But if you look at the stats, the science, don't deny the science. Those who go through transition have a suicide attempt rate of over 40%. Being in the military is one of the highest stress jobs out there. Why? Because it's about life and death. It's about performance under duress. And you're going to suddenly inject people into this environment who are handling machinery, handling weapons, have to deploy for months on end in submarines, in the desert, wherever, and they have a higher than 40% suicide rate. It is wrong. In fact, it's inhuman to those people who are having gender dysphoria. Don't be a science denier. Before we get to all of these issues, because this is one-on-one, because we have the luxury of time, and because I don't think we've done it before, and people love to get the background, would you tell us a little bit about the Duffs, where you come from, your background, and how you ended up as a gunnery sergeant?
I know. That's the biggest question. How did they let me become a gunnery sergeant?
No. You are a fine gunny. So talk to us about how you got to where you are.
So quick. Quickly, I was a 17-year-old that was not getting along with her parents. How unique
where
is about,
that? Where
Sacramento, California. You know, now keep in mind, for the Marines that were killed in Afghanistan were from California. I hear everybody bash California. We have a lot of conservatives and patriots.
A lot of Californians in the 13 that died.
Absolutely. So I joined at 17 to get away and show my parents that I could do it.
But why does a 17-year-old girl pick the Marines?
Because it would be the hardest and make them realize I was serious.
Was that family history?
No. My father had served during World War II in the Army, but only a year. He was a very young lieutenant, and he was in the first integrated officer candidate school during World War II.
Wow.
He's still alive today. He'll be turning, he'll turn 97 next year. But I did have to go out to California because my father tragically has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. I think he just simply has outlived his brain. I mean, really, he's
a
brilliant
mileage,
man.
Right? The brain can't keep up with the mileage.
I'm very blessed this didn't happen when he was 50, 60, or 70.
Yeah.
And I'm very blessed that I had so many great years. But I did move out kind of in a huff because my father was so strict. Being that they're old enough to be my grandparents, I was born very late. I'm the youngest of five children. My parents married late 30s. So there was a huge generation gap. I wasn't allowed to date. I wasn't allowed to drive. I mean, people are like, were they
so
religious?
So you rebelled by becoming a Marine.
Exactly. It was really rebellion. And my mother said years later, I know what you were doing. You're going to show us. I didn't pick the Coast Guard, the Navy, the Air Force. No disrespect to any of them. It's just just, I knew the Marines would be the most shocking. And here I could join, didn't have a driver's license, didn't cuss like I do now today. I was actually very sweet back then. And but I figured if anybody could do it, I could. I'd studied ballet.
She's inferring she's not sweet now. That's
outrageous. I'm not. I'm really horrible.
But no!
I'm abrupt and sometimes shock people. But I had been a ballet dancer, piano player, tap dancer. I was very disciplined and physically fit. So I wasn't an athlete, but I was an athlete. Had studied ballet since I was three, performed in the Nutcracker Ballet, and I was actually perfect Marine material.
Right, because my mind was a hard life, getting up early, training.
Always training and having strict parents. So anyway, I joined, and then I would not go in admin. Back then, it was called open contract, and I told the counselor, I don't want admin. I didn't want to be a stereotype of what a woman in a Marine
Corps. You want to be a Marine with a typewriter.
So I turned around, and they got open contract. They picked motor transport for me, and my first thought was, but damn, I don't have a license. And thing you know, it was the best thing for me because I had to get out of my skin. I had to learn how to, and it was primarily, when I was on active duty, less than 6% was female. And it's only up to 8% now. But back then.
In the Corps.
Okay. And as it should be. I don't want to hear about diversity in the Marine Corps. I want to hear the Marines go out and kill people. That's it. But the enemy, I should be clear. So I get into motor transport school, and then I was sent to a commercial motor pool where I learned how to drive commercial rigs. Freightliner, Kenworth, 48-foot trailers, and I hauled for the infantry and the wing units, and I would pull their gear in.
I want to get deeper into your career, but first I want to say, guys, if you love these one-on-ones as much as I do, you've got to make sure you don't miss any of them. The best way to do that, you can listen to the podcast, that's cool, but just go to our Rumble account, okay, and subscribe today. It's rumble.com/Seb Gorka, and you'll never miss one. This is long form. We love it here. That's rumble.com/SEBGORKA. We'll be back with Jesse chained up after these messages. I'm Sebastian Gorka, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real. Listen to Leo. One Sunday morning, I sat on my couch in so much pain, I was in tears. That's the day I ordered Relief Factor. Following directions, in 8 days, I found relief, only to get better and better. I'm a believer 100%. That's her story. It should be your story. There's only one way to find out, but it's super easy. Go to ReliefFactor.com right now. Order the 3-week quick starter pack. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less, and I guarantee you, end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you. For me, Leah, and thousands of your fellow Americans, call 800-500-8384 or just go to relieffactor.com.
Making sense out of today's nonsense. Here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome back to One-on-One with Marine Corps Gunnery Sergeant Jesse Jane Duff. All right, so wait, you joined the Marine Corps, Jesse Jane. You don't have a driver's license. They want to give you MOS transport. You're going to be driving stuff. Big rigs. I've got to ask you first, because I'm just curious. What was your favorite thing to drive of all the rigs?
When we had leased a Mack truck at my commercial motor pool at Camp Pendleton, base motor transport, they had leased a Mack at one time. And let me tell you, there was nothing like it. It's like the Cadillac, 20 feet up in the air. But I can tell you two of my favorite experiences. One was when I was driving. It was probably a flat-nose white. I don't recall the tractor that I was in. And I was hauling heavy equipment to an Air Force base outside of Riverside, California, to get offloaded onto a aircraft. And I have to drive through commercial streets, civilian streets. Right. And I didn't have a concept of how I looked. I mean, I didn't realize I was pretty. I really didn't. I wasn't even allowed to date, for goodness sake.
Well, you went 17-year-old.
Yes.
Protective
and I wasn't
family.
To date. Yeah.
Straight into the Marine Corps.
I mean, I knew I wasn't ugly, but I just didn't.
So what happened? I'm intrigued.
Two things. Well, one, I turned up.
What are you wearing? Are you in combat?
I was always in camouflage.
Okay.
So two experiences. Being naive like that was very good for me because I was never arrogant or big-headed, and I never thought I could manipulate people.
Right.
No. I was always like, I got to prove myself. I got to work harder. I was always like a maniac. So I'm driving this tractor trailer, and I remember looking at the roads and having to navigate the turn. This is a long trailer. And I look down, and there's a civilian lady. She looks up at me. Her eyes pop out of her head. Her jaw drops. And then she gives me the biggest thumbs up you would ever see. Like, she just thought that was so cool because the side of the truck said United States Marine Corps, and I'm in camouflage. The second experience was offloading heavy equipment in, to pick up equipment from an infantry unit in 29 Palms. So I get out there. That's the desert. I have to back up into, and there I'm backing up into the dock to load up their Hummers, their Humvees. And I jump out of the truck, and the look on their faces was an absolute shock. Now, I'm a sergeant at this point. Marines are professionals. You hear all these horror stories from I'm sorry, in the Marine Corps, they see your rank. You don't hear a peep of disrespect. Right. And I'm out of that truck, and the look on their faces was, seriously? She's going to haul us out of here? You could just see it. And I said, all right, Double Dogs, I need to get you to drive up the Hummers onto the trailer. Right. And they're waiting for me to ask for help to chain it down. But we don't do that. When you're trained in the motor pool, you're taught how to chain down your gear. Right. And again, I'm not thinking I'm a lady, open the door for me or help me. It was a different mindset. And then they stood there and watched me get underneath those axles, pull the chains, and then take the breaker bar, pull it in, and clamp them all down, all two or three Hummers. And then I said, anybody want to ride back to Camp Pendleton? And not one of them had the balls to get on that truck. And I rolled back to Camp Pendleton. I said, I'll see you there. And then they offloaded. But I would say those stood out to me because that's when I realized I was different. Right. Like, you know you're different, but you're not. I'm so glad I wasn't fully aware of that. And I was very fortunate because I never had issues. The one time I had one little itty-bitty problem, I embarrassed the Marines so bad about it, I never had a problem again.
You mean you never had anybody do anything inappropriate?
I never had sexual harassment. I didn't have. And a lot of it had to do with I picked up corporal.
But hang on. I mean, you know, we're told every day by the left that
how bad it is.
Toxic masculinity.
It's
got to be the worst in the Marine Corps.
Oh, yeah. Senator Gillibrand wants you to think that everybody's victimized. And the fact is that the Marine Corps taught us how to be such great professionals. One of my friends who retired a lieutenant colonel, picked up gunnery sergeant the same time I did, went on and got a commission. She said, you know, Jesse, why we never had a problem? Because we didn't hang out drinking with these guys.
Yeah.
Like 90%, and I'm not blaming the victim, but I want men
lines.
That are tough and rough.
Right.
And you can't take that away because that's what they do in combat to succeed. Right. I don't bemoan any of them, but I never put myself in a situation where I helped enable it. Again, it's not supposed to happen. I shouldn't be penalizing
anybody.
No, but
there are lines.
But I was just very professional, and I was very blessed to get off base early because they had no room at the barracks, and I had to get housing allowance. And I think that was the biggest thing that saved me. Mind you, I could never get my – I was living payday to payday broke all the time. But it kept me out of those barracks, kept me out of a situation where I could have thought, well, I got to fit in. Let me hang out.
Yeah, yeah.
But I picked up rank quickly because I was smart. I paid attention. I got meritoriously promoted to corporal and sergeant. And my parents, needless to say, my father, who was so upset at me at 17, didn't speak to me for almost 10 years,
maybe nine years.
I didn't go home again till late 20s.
Wow.
And he was hanging there. He now hangs the Marine Corps flag in front of the house. And it's as if none of that nonsense ever happened when I was 17.
I mean, I have to say, look, I love them all, and I've worked with them all. As the closest, the longest time is with the guys, the Brotherhood at Bragg. But the Marines are special and different, and I knew it day one. So I rolled up in Quantico, crossroads of the Marine Corps. I'm on the faculty of the university as the chair of military theory, and it's day one. And I'm in a classroom teaching 04s, 05s, 06s, and... You know, I'm teaching counterterrorism and irregular warfare, and I do my shtick and I do my spiel to start the conversation going. And instantly, and I mean instantly, there's no kind of sitting there quietly and deferential. It is pushback, substantive. I mean, it's all respectful.
Oh, they
right?
push back.
But it is instant. Well, what about this, Professor?
They challenge
what about
you.
That? And I tell you what, it was one of the funnest first opening sessions of any course I've ever taught. So God bless the Devil Dogs, the Leathernecks. Tell us a little bit more about your career. So where all did you serve and what were you
so
doing?
So I'm often asked, and I just want people to be sensitive to this. I'm often asked, so did you do overseas? And which is always code for did you go to Iraq or Afghanistan. And I want civilians to appreciate that not all of us do go. I did not go to Iraq or Afghanistan. My commands did. I had been in a position where I didn't deploy there. However, I moved 9 times in 20 years. I did 4 tours to Okinawa. I'm sorry. I did a lot of field time and I trained like I was going to go to combat.
Right.
But you have to be aware that when you're asking somebody that question, there's a lot of survivor's guilt, so to speak, and non-deployed guilt. We all have that feeling. At the end of the day, also remember this. Just because somebody did go to Iraq or Afghanistan doesn't mean they were even in a combatant role. Right. The majority of them are behind the wire in a secure setting. The bulk of them, but they get the props of now being the Iraq or Afghanistan vet. I tip my hat to those infantrymen every single day. And if they, God bless them, if they can do 20 years, because I get the same retirement check that they do, yet they had to probably suffer and really endure far more than I ever will see. So when they say that the military, this is all about equal opportunity, I would say that sometimes maybe that has gone a bridge too far, because the reality is that the men and women who literally put their lives on the line for this country has sacrificed far more. I am blessed to have been a Marine, but God knows I wasn't the greatest. I wasn't the most exceptional. I probably was given a talent to be able to survive it. And many never saw 20 years. Some only can do four. But just to understand, no, I did not deploy there, but I had moved around considerably. 9 times in 20 years is nothing to sneeze at. And I loved being stationed. I did go up on a tour up to South Korea. I was going to say North Korea. Oh, my God. I would have never gotten out of
there. Special mission there, right?
Yeah, special mission. And I admire those the most that have sacrificed so much for this country. And I went to a wedding this past weekend and saw a Marine. And I didn't know he was a Marine, but he was a bartender. Everybody said, oh, you got to meet this guy. He's hysterical. So there's two things about Marines. They're loud and they're funny. They're loud and they're funny. Never forget that, because they're unfiltered. They're going to say what you were thinking, right, and you're going to die laughing. So this guy's a bartender doing the craziest things, and his haircut and his body build. And I said, you know, you look a lot like a Marine. He goes, I was. He's a Sergeant Marine Corps, and he had done, he was in Force Recon, and had done 6 tours over to Afghanistan. And here he was, this badass bartender just rolling in tips, 10 years on active duty, but he never lost his swag. He had that swag.
You can tell. You can always tell.
He had that swag. And what I really liked about him, he didn't do the rebellion like a lot of Marines do and grow a long beard and hair, try to show, I'm not going to conform. There's something about that uniformity that makes you pop, because most civilians can't even get a haircut but once a month. These guys look good, stay in shape, they're funny, they say what you're thinking and too embarrassed to say.
I like that. Stay with us for more One-on-One with Gunny Sergeant Jesse Jane Duff. Gun Owners of America is the only no-compromise gun lobby. From battling the Biden administration's radical anti-gun agenda to restoring your constitutionally protected rights in the states, GOA's grassroots army, led by a friend of this show, Eric Pratt, is ready. GOA has a proud 45-year history of defending your Second Amendment rights without compromise. GOA's mission is simple: to protect, defend, and restore the Second Amendment. For just $25 a year, you can take an active role in the protection of your rights. When you join today by visiting gunowners.org/GORKA, you will receive a free gift. So help protect the Second Amendment by joining Gun Owners of America right now at gunowners.org/GORKA.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
And we're back One-on-One with Jesse Jane Duff. Okay, we discussed it at the beginning of the show. Let's open it up a little bit further. The NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, the Republicans who are bending over backwards to facilitate the crazies in the Democrat Party. Well, not the crazies, the crazy Democrat Party. Talk to us about this idea of the draft for women and who's behind this insanity? And give us your take, Jesse.
Well, you know, it's there's so much disarray with this current administration that I couldn't tell you the logic behind any of it, other than they have been enabled by our enemies. I mean, I look at this as just watering down the capabilities of our United States military one drip at a time.
Yeah.
And people, I get on Twitter and I get these guys that want to say, well, y'all wanted equality. And I'm like, stop it. Stop it. Don't sit here and argue with someone like me. I wasn't one of those lieutenants that went to tried to go through the courts and protest and sue so I could become a general one day. The odds of you becoming a general in the infantry are slim to almost zero, number one. Number two, what is your motivation for this? It's not going to impact combat readiness on one level. So first of all, there was a study done by the United States Marine Corps when Obama had lifted the combat exemption for women in, I believe it was 2015, April 15th, I remember it was tax day, and it went without Nobody cried. Nobody cried. Civilian women didn't even care.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, civilian ladies, you never care till it impacts you.
Right.
And the fact is they've taken it for granted that their daughters wouldn't get drafted. But I told many radio shows and TV shows, as soon as you put women in ground combat, how are you going to be able to say you can justifiably stop having them in the draft? So here's the thing. The bulk of the women don't want to go in the infantry for a multitude of reasons. We have 45% less muscle mass, 20% less lung capacity. And I hear women in the Army particularly want to get mad at me and say, oh, you're against women's rights. Say, you are not thinking this out. Even if a woman can get through the training, what are her odds of surviving hand-to-hand combat with the enemy? Because that's what Fallujah was.
Right.
This is equivalent to putting a woman in a mixed martial arts cage with a man. You cannot
defend
yourself.
And 60 pounds or 80 pounds of equipment.
And not only that, the enemy tends to fight on methamphetamines and other drugs. So that right there. Two, even if you pass the training, your odds are you're going to be at the lower percentile of the men. Unless they've done so many accommodations, they've lowered the standard, you now have weaker men.
Which goes to combat effectiveness.
Exactly. The Marine Corps did a study, and basically, it was General Dunford. God bless him. He stood up to this, and he requested a waiver against it. He was like, look,
He was the last one.
He was the only one.
General officer who had balls.
He actually got in and did over a $30 million study that showed that it would be a lethal mistake.
Yeah.
Now, the left tried to say, the Secretary of the Navy, as I recall, I think it was Ash Carter, I could be wrong on this, said flat out, well, you didn't pick the most qualified women to do the study. And a Marine Corps sergeant, I wish I had found her and thanked her, spoke out and said, what are you talking about, the most qualified? We are the Marines. We are the ones that graduated boot camp. We graduated infantry training school. Now, mind you, infantry training school was always men, and there were a few women that graduated, but it was 25% female that could graduate compared to 98% male. So then when they did the study for $30 million, they saw that women were injured 3 to 10 times the rate of men. Muscle atrophy, you're talking hip displacement, you're talking carrying heavy loads and having to shoot, your heart, you're having difficulty breathing, our accuracy in shooting was dropping. Now, mind you, don't get mad at me, folks. I'm a shooter. I'm an incredible shooter. I've been an expert all my years in the Marine Corps, but I also was shooting on a rifle range without somebody waving a K-bar at
shooting
me, right?
Like
at me, and running with all my gear.
Right.
So there's a difference. And the women were less effective because, again, with less lung capacity and muscle mass. Now, if you are injured at 3 to 10 times the rate of men for a variety of things, that means you got to be replaced in a combatant environment. There was no logical outcome of this infantry experiment because at the end, most women were going to wash out. The Marine Corps ended up having over 20 women try to get through infantry officers course, and they finally got one through. I appreciate that they did not advertise her and put her out there like Miss America, the way the Army did with their Rangers, and exploited those women to show their equality. What the Army never admitted to was in that Rangers training, which was not Rangers battalion. It was training that anybody from any field could go through. The women had to be recycled every single phase of the training. They cost 10 times probably more than the men because they were pulled out of their jobs. That had to be replaced. Long story short, no male would have been recycled that often. So when the Marine Corps presented their study, all logical, all well thought out, 6-month, 9-month study out in 29 Palms, it basically went to the circular file, which is called your garbage can, because they ignored it.
Yeah. The special circular
and
file.
And here we are talking about putting women in ground combat. Now, the purpose of the draft is to replace combatant forces. And these Republicans, you want to know what they're saying on the field? Well, they can fill admin jobs. Number one, we don't do the draft to replace admin jobs.
Correct.
You have enough volunteers to do that. Two, you can put the male who's not qualified for the infantry in that admin job. Because in the Marine Corps, everybody is a rifleman.
Right.
I'm a rifleman.
Yes.
All Marines are going to be riflemen.
Right.
And do you want an admin in a combatant zone who's male, who has probably a fighting chance versus a female?
This
is obscure. It's ridiculous.
It's just politics. Do you miss President Trump? I know I do. And now I'm coming to you with a very special offer from my team that you do not want to miss from President Trump. Now is your chance to enter to win one of 6 signed photographs of the president, which were hand-signed by President Trump and soon could be hanging up in your house. When President Trump signed these photographs, he wanted to make sure all of his supporters had the chance to receive one. And now is your chance. All you have to do is text F-H-O-T-O, photo, to 55404 today for your chance to win a beautiful photograph of President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump, hand-signed by President Trump himself, by texting P-H-O-T-O to 55404 right now. You will get exclusive double entry activated by my team for a limited time. Again, text photo to 55404 to have your name entered twice to win a hand-signed Trump photograph. You don't want to miss this. Our contest ends soon. Paid for by the National Republican Senatorial Committee.
The truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. That's Dr. G's specialty, America First.
Welcome back to America First One-on-One with Gunny, Jesse Jane Duff. So we've discussed the draft. We've discussed what's happening with the NDAA and the Republicans lying over supine. Let's talk about the bigger problem of political correctness infecting the military en masse, whether it's Milley on down, whether it's the decisions with Kabul in Afghanistan. I'm sure you're still in touch with colleagues in the Corps. What are you hearing? How bad is it? And let's talk about vaccine mandates as well, Jesse Jane.
They're so disgusted. And, you know, many of them have opted to continue to their retirement because they're too close to the retirement. And many are opting to get out now with the vaccine mandates. And I'm just disgusted because we don't have one FDA-approved vaccine in the United States. The one that's FDA-approved apparently is overseas, and it's apparently in Germany. If I'm wrong on that, please forgive me, but I've done my homework on this, and apparently Senator Ron Johnson has been speaking out about this. So why are we giving a vaccine to young men overall in the Marine Corps, let alone Army, Navy, Air Force, who are overall physically fit, do not have secondary health conditions, and the odds of recovering from COVID are quite high? Why aren't we talking about just treating it versus putting this vaccine in? There is a lot of information. I don't know what is or is not true, but I do know that even on the CDC website, they talk about blood clots that have been a higher rate of blood clotting. Right. I do know they have talked about congestive heart failure. This is actually on their website. The other things about adjusting your DNA, your mRNA, I don't understand that. I'm not a scientist.
It's a new experimental form of vaccine. It's brand new.
And they're
new.
Saying that it's modifying your DNA. Now, I am vaccinated. I was vaccinated long before the controversy even started. I was caring for my mother. I was in line. She was getting hers. And at the time, back in January, February, I didn't hear a lot of this. But fast forward, these mandates now, you're looking at young men who have a little to no risk of dying of COVID that actually, with many of the medications now, can recover very easily, very quickly. So why aren't we just taking that? These people have already been living together. They're all over each other. You get no space in the military, particularly Marines who deploy. And now you're concerned about them getting COVID, yet for the past, what, year and a half, they are okay overall. So you're looking at children, same thing. Less than 500 have died in the United States from COVID and primarily had secondary health conditions.
Correct.
In fact, I saw a posting of some 12-year-old little girl died. They're suing because she had to take the students to and from the nurse's office. That's how she got it. I saw the photo of the 12-year-old. She was morbidly obese. And I was stunned. I thought, the flu could have killed this child.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're taking the military and telling them to put something that's not even FDA approved in their body. And people use this excuse. Well, when you go in the military, you get all those vaccinations. You know what? The fact is the bulk of them, if not 99% of them, have all been approved by the FDA. The only one that was not.
Well, and they've been used for decades.
Absolutely. The only one that wasn't briefly when I was on active duty was, I can't remember the name of the, I know one of your listeners has it at the tip of their tongue. But it was one that was not approved, but then got approved. And I took that when I was in my early 20s. But here we are now looking at something that could potentially cause more harm than good because the reactions to this have been severe. They have a higher rate. And I've read various data, like 15,000 reactions per week compared to 1,000 with other vaccines, a higher rate of reaction. How many of our friends have been sick who've had the vaccine?
Right.
End of the day, you're talking about a population that is at low risk. So you're forcing them now to take a questionable vaccine, not FDA approved. I'm against this. I'm against what they're doing with this woke culture, this critical race theory. I was actually taught white guilt when I was an equal opportunity advisor, a brief, yes, down at DOMI, Defense Equal Opportunity Management Institute, down at Cocoa Beach, Florida. When I went to become an equal opportunity advisor, I had to understand race relations, maltreatment.
And you were told the white
and
people
we did
are bad.
Learn, no. We just learned what white guilt is. We understood. We had to learn what affirmative action was and why it was in place, those that had been disadvantaged. And I'm not going to lie, a lot of the training helped me understand things that I did not necessarily understand before. However, I did not agree with the mindset that I was going to be categorically at an advantage because of my skin color based upon past indiscretions. And that's more or less why they're saying we still have to promote things that to give people a leg up. Well, I would fall for that, except that we've had affirmative action policies in the 1964 Civil Rights Act passed in 1964. Most of the people who were severely discriminated against have long since either retired or passed away.
Yeah, right.
You know, at this era, African Americans who do well in college have a higher rate of getting a scholarship than I ever will. So don't tell me that there's a lot of disadvantage.
Well, and also, how long do you do it? Do you do it for centuries?
Exactly. At what
point?
And
as a white guy who wasn't even born here, what are you going to punish a Polish, Hungarian, Lithuanian from born in the UK?
Well, we definitely got to keep you down.
I mean, clearly,
I don't
dangerous.
Think, I mean, yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Are you hearing anything from your colleagues that are still in? What's the mood like?
What I've seen is that a lot of the younger ones are going to opt to get out. They're going to get a discharge, and they are going to be pushing for honorable discharge. Not people, the civilians out there, give them discharge. Honorable. You have to have committed a serious felony offense. They deserve honorable discharges, right. Period. And they still should have their VA benefits. There should be nothing taken away. But Ashley Babbitt, as I found out, wasn't even allowed to get a funeral by a military presence, by the Air Force.
By the Biden
I don't know what their logic was behind that, but what a discredit. What a shame. What a black eye. And look how they treated Lieutenant Colonel Schiller. Thank God that judge said, I am not buying what you're saying. You're trying to suggest that this guy is going to be a violent man. When I watch this tape, I see a man who's just seriously distressed over what has happened. Not going to go out and they made him a threat.
What is your response to the Schiller video, given that he did it in combat?
And he did it in camouflage uniform. You know, I admire him because I think he already knew that he was what he was up against.
Oh, he knew?
He had no, it wasn't a guy that made a, you know, I feel more for the enlisted who was thrown in jail for taking photos of an old submarine and had to go into the brig. However, putting him in the brig was unnecessary, and the judge called out the Marine Corps for overreaching, seeing him as a threat, releasing his medical records. I felt that some of those prosecutors started taking this personally, and they treated it personally.
Yes.
And I understand when you're upset at your Marine. I've been there. But you have to always check your leadership and say, am I making this a personal issue? Treat the man professionally. Allow him to resign. Why did he even have to go through this whole charade that could have all been handled behind the scenes?
Right.
You can go now and get out. In fact, why are you denying him his benefits when he's had how many combatant tours and a Bronze Star? He has done more for this country than 99.99% of Americans out there. And the Marine Corps should be ashamed of itself on how it treated it. And thank God that judge kept it from becoming a circus. But it still has to get sign off by guess who? Secretary Lloyd Austin, and I believe the Secretary of the Navy. And who knows? Oh, no. Merrick Garland. Isn't he involved in this too? With the regardless, you know, these people got sore egos over it. And I'm sorry, Secretary Lloyd Austin, you sold your soul a long time ago when you didn't cash in your investments when he became Secretary of Defense.
Well, not only that, he's a disgrace.
He is a disgrace.
On his confirmation hearing, saying that his priority is going to be hunting down the enemy in the U.S. military?
Within the military, exactly.
I mean, that's just a
disgrace.
Well,
he's the guy that made the comment that ISIS was the JV team. And
he was a CENTCOM commander.
That should have tarnished him indefinitely. He should have never been confirmed. And it's unfortunate that he's sitting up there on his high palace now leading the military.
Yeah, it is a disgrace. That great American patriot, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to you, my listeners. You can get great discounts on all of his MyPillow products right now if you go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Listener Special. Get deep discounts on MyPillow's mattress toppers, towels, and so much more, including the amazing sheepskin line slippers with the MyPillow foam. Mike is offering a buy one, get one free offer on his Giza Dream Sheets of finest Egyptian cotton. All MyPillow products come with a 60 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener specials for the buy one, get one free offer on the Giza Dream Sheets. Enter promo code G-O-R-K-A or call 1-800-829-8468. That's 1-800-829-8468, promo code G-O-R-K-A.
You're listening to America First with Dr. G.
And we're back one-on-one with Marine Corps Gunnery Sergeant Jesse Jane Duff. Tell us why you were such a full-throated supporter, co-chair of Veterans for Trump. Tell us about what he represents to you. What the message does.
He President Trump represented freedom that we had long forgotten. Many people have becoming, basically, when they take a freedom away, you'll never get it back. And many Americans haven't recognized how these simple freedoms and the processes that we have fought so long for are no longer existing. I mean, just to open up a business, just to build a runway, everything, the bureaucracy of our government bubble has overtaken and consumed where people now think that the government is actually that's in charge. And it's no, we the people. And it was the president that made us aware of that, because he said, they're not after me, they're after you. He spoke in such logical terms that it offended the elites in this city, because he was cutting off their fund. He said in his inauguration, which was so admirable, how many people have left this office that made profit off the backs of this position.
Yeah.
So I'm paraphrasing. And all of those former presidents are sitting behind him with their jaws clenching. How is it you can walk away richer than when you walked in? How is it that you could? Because politics has now become a business. When you look at this $3.5 trillion pork spending bill, there is things in Nancy Pelosi's district. Are we surprised? No. Everybody is getting to shave off. You look at Maxine Waters paying her own daughter out of the campaign. How much money, donors' money? They're taking advantage of us, and they're fleecing us, and they're robbing us, and we pay them. When you got school board meetings telling people not to listen to you, they forget that we elect them. We pay them. You are public schools. You are not a private school that can control us. And this president pushed back in such a way that they had to literally, not figuratively, manipulate this election on so many levels, because he was the greatest threat to their piggy banks.
Right.
He was the greatest threat to the Clintons and the Obamas getting exposed. That's why they got puppet Biden in, because he can sit there now and hide all their dirt and bury it deeper and deeper and deeper, because he was enabled by China when his own son profited off of it. Our president stood for truth, and it's amazing that we now recognize what we lost. And I dare to say he'll be back in 2024 on a rampage.
Oh, he is going to declare imminently, if we can make sure that we don't have stolen elections, he'll be back in the White House. And then I have an idea, because I'll be advising on certain aspects of personnel policy in a few weeks' time to the president. I think we might have a Defense Department spokesperson sitting here with me. I think that's a good idea.
Could you imagine Admiral Kirby?
Kabul Kirby, he's a disgrace to the Navy uniform. In the meantime, follow this lady, Jessie, with an IE, Jessie Jane Duff, on Twitter. If you want one of her T-shirts that she now has, one of our T-shirts, the president's catchphrase, if you're woke, you're a loser, just go to our website, sebgorkastore.com. In the meantime, dear friends, keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.